Many people, both young and old, face growing uncertainty about their faith. They have tough questions and growing doubts. Some have been attending church for years. They're pondering questions about church and faith. Is it really true? Is it relevant? Why keep going? Let's make room for questions and doubts and strengthen faith.
But you know, I'm always kind of wondering about something. And so I'm wondering this morning, how many of you have ever had the opportunity to be on a high ropes course? Anybody here? Lots of people in the other service. Lots of people in this service. Well, of course, I have two. But I found out before I could get on the course, which was some 30 feet up in the air, where I'd be traversing from one platform to another over a number of challenging features, before I could do that, I actually had to go to a class on safety. And that's where I learned I'd be securely hooked into a safety line the entire time. I was told I didn't need to worry because I'd be secure since the harness and the carabiners and the cable could support thousands of pounds. And so that the worst thing that could actually happen to me if I did fall was that I'd simply dangle in midair until I was rescued if need be. Now, interestingly enough, I think I actually trusted that information. And if you'd ask me if I believed I'd be safe on that ropes course, I think I would have said yes. But kind of a strange thing happened to me when I was all of a sudden 30 feet up in the air. And I discovered that my body didn't necessarily believe I was safe. For example, my sweat glands clearly had some doubts. It was obvious due to my heart rate that whatever regulates the heart, that was a little bit nervous, not to mention in my stomach, because the butterflies were in a frenzy. And I could try to explain all I want to my body about the safety information, but I did not think it was going to listen that day. You see, one place where you can learn about faith and doubt is on a ropes course. Because it's not until I took the step of faith that my doubts were actually calmed. And faith is a lot like coming to believe with my whole body what I say I believe with my mind. And you can't really know until you've taken that step of faith. Well, today we're starting a brand new series called Room for Doubt. And I've got to let you in on a little secret. I have doubts. Your pastor has doubts, which may seem a little strange given that I've kind of bet the farm on being a Christ follower when I committed my life to the propagation of faith in God. And it all started because I grew up in a home with God-fearing parents who lived out their faith, which also meant that I grew up in the church. And then when I was 16 years old, I had an unmistakable encounter with God that led me to pursue ministry as my life calling. And so I went off to Bible college. I got a bachelor's degree in pastoral ministry. I later added a master's degree as well. And you know, I've spent my life reading and studying and thinking and teaching about God and the Bible. And despite all of that, I still have doubts. And yet I also want to make sure you know, I also still have faith. And so I sure hope that it's okay to have doubts, because in spite of having faith, I also have doubts. And one of the things that I actually have no doubts about today is that you have also experienced some doubts in your life. And so welcome to Academy Christian Church today. We're glad whether you're here in person or whether you're joining us online or over at our Westside campus. And whenever you experience doubts, some of you might be wondering, is it okay to ask questions, to discuss objections, to wonder out loud? And the answer is a resounding yes. And the reason we're doing this Room for Doubt series is because we're a church that welcomes people who are just checking out what we teach and wonder why we believe what we believe, why it's we think it's true. Well, it's a well-known fact that even one of Jesus' own disciples, a guy by the name of Thomas, had some doubts. He questioned whether Jesus had really come back from the dead. And rather than just accepting the testimony of his friends who said they'd seen Jesus alive, He wanted more evidence to back up this miraculous claim. And so he actually got tagged, what? The doubting Thomas. You know, Thomas really could have been like the sincere Christian who wrote the following letter to his church. He wrote and he said, I need your help. I see so many people around the church who have such strong faith, and I don't feel like I fit in. I'd like to feel confident, and I wish I didn't have doubts, but I think I've got more questions than I have answers. And I'm beginning to doubt whether I'm a Christian at all. What should I do? And that letter was signed by an intelligent, sincere businessman who'd been attending church for a long time. Have you ever felt like that? Maybe you today are kind of wondering whether the Bible is actually the Word of God. Or maybe you're questioning, why on earth would God allow so many people to suffer? Or you've been praying for help with a struggle in your life, but so far there's only been silence. And so you're starting to question whether there is a God and if he's even listening. Now, if you today, if you can relate to those kinds of questions, I'm glad you're here, because my hope is that this series will permit all of us some room for doubt, and that this could actually be a safe place for us to talk about doubts and then hopefully be able to find some answers. And if this is an area where you don't actually struggle, I just hope then this series would actually equip you with some answers to help your friends and family members who do. And so let's do a quick series overview where we're going to go. We're going to start today with, is it normal to have doubts? And the answer, of course, to that would be yes. And then next week, is God really necessary? And then isn't the Bible, isn't it full of myths and mistakes? And then why is Jesus such a big deal? And then we're going to wrap it up with, why would God allow tragedy and suffering? And so let me just begin by clarifying, folks, that doubts are not the problem. Doubts are not the problem. In fact, I actually believe that doubts are inevitable for one very simple reason. And Paul makes that pretty clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, where he says that we live by faith and not by sight, which actually means that everyone is putting their faith in something. I mean, even the atheist is putting his faith in something, even if it is nothing. Because on this side of life, no one knows for sure how it all started or how it's all going to end. And because we're required to put our trust in things we've not seen, I mean, doubts are just going to be the natural result. So there's something important that I also need to clarify, and that is that doubt is not the opposite of faith. And some people think that. And doubt being the opposite of faith is a misconception that makes having faith and doubts really incompatible. What we need to recognize is that the opposite of faith is actually unbelief. And I got to tell you, our enemy would like to use any doubts that he can get us to obsess on to try to get us to that place of unbelief. But to simply doubt is just to be indecisive or to be uncertain because you've got questions or concerns about some facet of your faith. But you still haven't really come down firmly on the side of unbelief. And you got to know, unbelief, what that is a willful refusal to believe. Or it could be a deliberate decision to not acknowledge God. And it's kind of what we see in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, where the writer says, hey, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. We also got to recognize today that doubt is not the absence of faith. And that's because you have to put your faith in something before you can actually doubt anything. And I think sometimes you and I are tempted to think that doubt is merely a problem of intellect or intelligence or information. And so if I only knew more, could think clearer. But I got to tell you, there are plenty of people who are way more intelligent than you or I, who believe in God, even while there are also many intelligent folks who don't, and they both have access to the same information. Which reminds me of the story. There was a doctor and a Boy Scout, the smartest man in the world, and a pastor. And they were riding in a small private airplane together. And suddenly the engine developed some trouble and the plane started to go down. And finally things were looking pretty rough. And so the pilot grabbed a parachute, yelled to the passengers that they'd better jump, and then he bailed out. Unfortunately, there were only 3 parachutes for the 4 remaining passengers. Well, the doctor that was there, he grabbed one and he said, "Hey, I'm a doctor. I save lives, so I should live." And then he jumped out of the plane. And then the smartest man in the world, he said, "Well, I'm one of the smartest people in the world, and so I have responsibility to the planet." And so he grabbed a parachute and bailed out. Well, the pastor, being a pastor, he looked at the Boy Scout and he said, "You know, I've lived a long and full life. You're young. You know, you've got your whole life ahead of you. You go ahead and take the parachute." And the Boy Scout looked back at him and said, "Hey, Pastor, no worries. It's okay. Because the smartest man in the world just grabbed my backpack." Now, why are you laughing at that? If you were the smartest man in the world, there's nothing funny about that, is there? I mean, that'd be kind of a terror. Everybody's laughed at that like that was But you know what? Our world is full of very smart people who are jumping out of a plane with a backpack. And you know what? One thing is for sure, folks, the plane is going down sooner or later. And we are all on the same plane, smart folks and scouts alike. And everyone has to jump. And everyone has to choose a parachute. And no one is going to know for certain if they've chosen wisely until after they jump. Now, if you were here last week, I hope that you had an opportunity to spend some time in Hebrews chapter 11 reading that, because it's talking about faith in the first 3 verses of chapter 12. If not, I would still encourage you to do so this week. Because understanding faith is so important, because faith is actually both the source and also the solution to doubt. And why it's never going to be faith or doubt, it's always going to be faith and doubt. Because Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 just starts out and it just says very clearly, now faith is confidence in what we are hoping for, not what we have, not what we can see, not what we hold or possess. And it's also the assurance of what we don't see. We haven't been there. We haven't seen it. We haven't done that yet. And you read through the rest of the chapter and again, what you discover is you can actually possess a strong faith and still have questions. You know, it's been said that struggling with God over some of the issues of life, that actually doesn't demonstrate a lack of faith. It actually is faith. And if you don't believe that, I would say just read through some of the struggles that David had with God in the book of Psalms. And you can actually be a fully devoted follower of Christ and still express some uncertainty over theological issues without having to feel like every question of life has been answered or even has to be. Because all of us here, we all have believing and doubting inside of us. Because every one of us here have the same incomplete information to work with. And Paul kind of addresses that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's a love chapter, but he goes on with some other insightful things. He says, "For now, we see only a reflection in the mirror. Now, then we're going to see face to face. Now I only know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." And what that means is that there will always be some things that we are not going to be able to understand. We're going to go, "Wow, I don't understand that." And honestly, that's because God's not someone that any of us could ever fully comprehend or let alone control. And because I know that, I just recognize and understand that knowing everything about God, really, that's above my pay grade. And I think Mark Batterson, in his book, A Million Little Miracles, says it well. And he writes, he says, "Last time I checked, the distance from one side of the universe to the other is about 93 billion light years." And then he brings us to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9. And he reminds us, and he says, "You know, as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." And then he goes on and he says, God likens the difference between our thoughts and his thoughts to the distance from one side of the universe to the other. And he says, that means your best thought on your best day is still about 93 billion light years short of how great and how good God really is. And part of the struggle we have with doubts is when you and I just aren't willing to acknowledge that God probably has things figured out way better than we have. And maybe that's exactly what's been keeping you from surrendering to Him in the first place. See, if you've never committed your life to Christ to begin with, I got to tell you, doubts are going to run rampant in your life. And you might be having doubts about your relationship with God because you really don't have a relationship with God. And if that's the case, it's no wonder that you have doubts about God's presence in your life, or that you maybe feel like God is distant. And you'll keep feeling that way, honestly, until you put your trust in Christ and begin a real relationship with Him, which any of you could actually do today if you would want to. And I'd love to have a conversation after the service if you need to. But I want to bring just to mind the fact that, folks, seeing like we think it would isn't necessarily believing. You know, in Jesus' final moments here on this earth, here's what was said of His remaining followers. And it just baffles me. In Matthew 28, it says, when they saw Him, of course they worshiped Him. And then the very next statement, but some doubted, and He was standing there right in front of them. See, we often think that if we just had more solid evidence, we'd have more faith, and that's not necessarily true. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells a story, and He gives a glimpse of what happens after two individuals with very different life experiences when they experience death. One of them is a rich man, the other is a beggar. And when the rich man, who lived a pretty great life, actually finds himself in a place of torment, he requests that Abraham send the beggar to warn his family so that they won't end up where he was. And in Luke 16:30, he says, Father Abraham, if someone from the dead goes to them, oh, they will definitely repent. And then Abraham says, you know what, if they don't listen to Moses or the prophets, they'll not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. So as we talk about doubts today, I want to offer some steps of faith to help us deal with doubts. Because it is inevitable that we're going to deal with doubts. Doubt is really constant. Faith has to be a decision. And I have faith, and therefore I'm susceptible to doubt. And since I doubt, therefore I actually need faith. And so I'm a pastor. Pastors love acrostics. So we're going to take an acrostic of the word faith to help us take some steps. And so letter F stands for fortify your knowledge and understanding of God if you want to get around your doubts. Because anytime you have an inaccurate view of God, it's going to create doubt in your life. And it's not really that difficult to come up with an inaccurate view of God. Because even though we're the ones who've been made in God's image, we often, what we try to do is make God in our image. In other words, we construct God how we would envision Him to be, maybe if we were God. And for example, if you know all about God's love, but you don't know anything about His holiness or His justice, you're probably going to start developing some doubts about why He does things the way He does and why He doesn't do what you think He ought to do. Or if you think God has promised to answer all of your prayers in the way that you want them to be answered, then you're probably going to develop some doubts when He doesn't. Or if you think God guarantees to you health and prosperity to all of His followers, you're going to start doubting when either sickness or deprivation happens to come your way. But the problem there isn't with God, since He never guaranteed any of those things. The problem is that you've got an inaccurate view of God, and man, that is a breeding ground for doubt. And why it's important for all of us to be able to examine God's word in order to understand who He is more accurately. That's letter F. Letter A, you're just going to have to acknowledge the reality of doubt. Kind of make some peace with it. Because if you're afraid of acknowledging your doubts, that could actually cause you to avoid dealing with those doubts. And I got to tell you, doubts not expressed or properly addressed rarely ever just go away. And I got to tell you, it's not that, or it's kind of natural, really, from time to time, to kind of wrestle with some spiritual questions, some issues, some hesitancies, or some concerns about faith. And by the way, that is not just a Christian experience. I mean, people from every point of view, I mean, even again, the atheists, they struggle with doubt. Doubt is a human experience. And I've got to say, if you've never actually been placed in a situation with the opportunity for there to be doubt, you probably really haven't had the opportunity to ever really experience faith. The Apostle Peter was writing to some Christians in the first century who had a strong faith and some great spiritual resources, but they were going through a time of some real suffering and persecution. And he says to them, "In this you greatly rejoice." Not the good things, but he says, because now, though, you're going to have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. And then he says, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, when you go through hard things, it proves the genuineness of the faith that you have in Christ. That's going to be revealed. And I love what a guy by the name of Nicholas Walterstoff wrote. And he said it this way. He said, faith is a footbridge that you don't know will hold you up over the chasm until you're forced to walk out onto it. That's when you're going to find out. Letter I stands for just identify the sources of doubt. And there's a lot of different ones. We're going to look at three of them, especially today. And the first one, of course, would just be our thinking. Our thinking can lead to doubts. And doubts often develop in our minds because we don't really know why we believe what we believe. And this is where sometimes you may encounter some intellectual objections to our faith. And then we start wondering whether things like heaven or hell and angels or demons and miracles and the resurrection, are those really rational to believe in? And you know, it could actually start with something as simple as a conversation with a friend who happens to say to you, "Hey, do you believe that Jesus, that he's God?" And you say, "Sure, of course I do." And they ask, "Well, why do you believe that?" And so you get out your Bible and you're about to show them a bunch of passages to prove that Jesus is God. But they say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, wait just a second. You don't expect me to believe anything in that book, do you?" And you say, "Well, why not?" And they say, "Well, because everybody knows. The Bible is full of contradictions and mythology. Come on, man, this is a 21st century. How could you believe that book could be the word of God?" And you say, "Well, I guess I just believe it. That's all." And then some doubts start creeping in. And you'll start to wonder, well, maybe they're right. How do I know that the Bible really is reliable? And that's when doubts can start to overwhelm you. Another thing of doubt that brings doubts would be our feelings. And some people have a faith that's really based mostly on emotions, how they feel. And I got to say, feelings are real. They need to be acknowledged. But you know that it is your thinking, the way you think, that actually leads to your feelings. And so you may, if you're just living off of feelings, you may need to be taking thought or taking captive some thoughts instead of letting them take captive of you. Do you know what faith and fear is a pretty common emotion. You know what they have in common besides starting with the letter F? They both believe in a future that hasn't yet happened yet, a future over which they have little control. The difference is that one believes in a future where God is in control. And then the third thing would just be our desires, which is kind of our will, the things we would want or important. And then you know what happens? God doesn't do things the way we want him to. Doubts can start to creep in. Or we want to do something that God doesn't approve of. And then doubts start to sneak in. And you know, doubts can multiply when a Christian makes a willful decision to stay in a pattern of sin. And it's why people who want to do what they want to do will often choose simply not to believe in God so that they don't have to experience that cognitive dissonance. Letter T would be to take some steps that actually strengthen your faith. And to start with, just if you can, be here every week of the series. And we already heard from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, excuse me today. It says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness and to goodness what? Knowledge. Learn some things." And you know, as much as there's plenty of information that's available today that could make you question your faith, there's also as much knowledge today that could actually strengthen your faith. And so make sure you come back next week, because we're going to be discussing the topic, is God really necessary? And it's a question I don't think many of us have ever really thought of. We just grew up believing in God. But after we examine really some of the powerful evidence that backs up our belief in him, we should be able to have hopefully a little more confident faith. And I would also just encourage you, if you know some friends who might be wondering whether they need to believe in God or why they need to believe in God, make sure you invite them as well. And then if you haven't already, you could sign up for one of our Room for Doubt connection groups. They'll be having some deeper discussions on the topics that we're covering in the messages. It's not too late to sign up. In the chairs out there, there's actually our Connect Group pamphlets. You can take one of those. Pastor Dave will be out in the foyer if you need to talk to him about that, but get involved in one of those things. And then letter H, just start highlighting. Highlight what God has done in your life. Because I really believe it's likely that you already have plenty of evidence of the work of God in your life. That maybe you've just either forgotten because it's been a while, or you're just choosing to ignore it. And when you ignore it, it's not going to help. It's like what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 78, verse 11, talking about the children of Israel, the nation. It says they simply forgot what God had done and the wonders that he had shown them. Well, again, in all honesty, I really would like to know for sure, because I'm all in. I wish I didn't have to trust, or I didn't just have to hope. I'd really like it sometime if the sky would just, you know, break open and it would just be evident. Or if I could get a bona fide miracle of my own, like a bush that was burning but wasn't consumed, or a parting of the Red Sea. But I gotta be honest, even that may not be necessarily enough evidence to convince. But what I know is that each one of us here, we get to make our own choices. To spend our life praying or not praying. Or spend our life worshiping or choosing not to worship. And all of us here are going to be guided by the values and desires that we allow to control us. And then we're going to die. And there really is only one road to certainty. And it's through a door that's marked death. And when I go through it, that's when either I know that I'm going to know for sure, or there simply won't be any of me left to know. But I have to decide, and you have to decide, on what we're going to choose to believe on this side of the door. And so let me just close with this statement. Your life actually is the ballot that you cast, either for God or against him. What vote are you going to cast? I hope it's the vote of belief. Because we've heard it so many times before. If you put your faith in Christ and God doesn't exist, when we get to the end, it won't really matter. But if you don't put your faith in Christ and God really is real, it'll be the worst mistake of your life. And again, if you need to take a step of faith today, I'd love to have a conversation. But right now, just I want to pray. Father, something I know is common to every one of us in this room is that we've had doubts. And sometimes Satan has got us to believe that because we've had doubts, we abandon our faith. So I pray that you would drive us deeper into our faith when we experience those doubts. And there's probably some folks in this room here today that are just still wondering whether they can put their faith and their trust in you. God, please show yourself, make yourself known to them in ways that will draw them, but help them be willing to trust and be willing to believe. For thousands of years, people have been putting their faith and trust in you, and you have never failed, never led astray. You may not have done things the way we wanted them to be done, but you've always been faithful. And I just pray you'll continue to be faithful as we put our trust in you. We ask and pray that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.